Well, Teresa, I tell you, I'm excited about today's guest. He's going to be talking to us about, you know, old garden roses. And I'll tell you, if I ever build another garden, it'll be full of those beautiful roses.
Well, for sure, your garden will be filled with fragrance, and it'll be filled with charm, and it will be filled to the brim with blooms in the spring. So good choice.
Yeah. You know, I've got some, you know, I garden in a very small space, and I've got some old garden roses in my garden. I've got old blush and some of those, you know, what I call the old favorites that a lot of folks grow, but I don't have some of those gorgeous damask roses or any of the centrifolias or any of those. And I'm excited to hear about what Matt Douglas has to tell us today. Now, you actually went on a trip to Turkey not too long ago, and I'll tell you, they love their roses over there, don't they?
They sure do. Oh, what a trip that was. It's been almost a year to the day that we went to Turkey, and it's a beautiful country that takes you really right to the heart of civilization. But one of the beautiful parts for me, as you can imagine, was learning about their culture of roses. You know, Turkey, Bulgaria, and Syria, they're the very heart of the rose oil industry, and it's used for fragrance and for food flavoring. So needless to say, while I was there, I began to learn more about the damask roses. Immediately knew I had to have some. So I came home, I contacted Matt, and I ordered two of what I hear are the most fragrant. Now I have some damask roses. I have Madame Hardy and wouldn't be without it. But two that were recommended to me were Ishpahan, I think I'm saying that correctly, and Kazanlik. So last year, Matt's roses came, and they grew and grew and grew, but no blooms. So I'm hoping that all that strong growth last year is going to give me some of those fragrant blooms this year.
Yeah. So isn't that typical, though, of old garden roses that bloom only once a year, that you see a lot of growth the first year, but it's really the second year that you see blooms, because most old garden roses only bloom on previous year's growth, right?
Right. And some do a new and old wood, but we'll see. You know, I haven't learned that much about these roses other than I knew I had to have them. So so we're going to find out. But they are, the pictures are beautiful, and all the stories that you hear are fabulous. So I'm excited to hear what Matt has to tell us.
Absolutely. Now, I think our listeners are going to hear just what you've already found out, that damask roses can be something that they might want to add in their garden. So y'all stay with us. The Rose Chat podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
So, hey, Matt, welcome back to Rose Chat.
Hi, Teresa. It's great to be back with you.
Now, today we're going to talk about a beautiful rose, the damask rose. And while I've always grown a few, when I visited Turkey last year, my interest grew and grew and grew. So your world is engulfed in historical roses. So teach us about damask roses.
Yeah, they're just fantastic plants to grow. And my gosh, they have just become more and more popular the last few years, with people just getting interested in older roses and things of distilling and doing some potpourri. And damask roses are just a fantastic, fantastic rose to use for those purposes.
They've even made their way into lots of famous writings. Even Shakespeare wrote about the damask rose.
That's right. And I think if you start growing a lot of them in your garden, you'll know why. They're just they're really unique historic plants. And I think the thing that most people are drawn to is just the incredible scent. But, you know, when we talk about the damask roses, you know, I always like to make sure everybody knows what we're talking about. So, you know, we divide roses into three major categories: the species roses, which are naturally occurring plants, the old garden roses, and then the modern roses, which kind of come forward from the hybrid teas and the Rose de France. So what we're really focusing on here are the initial species roses, and the one we're going to talk about is a rose called Roma Rosa Damascena. And it's hybrids, which are the damask roses, which are old garden roses. So damask roses, you know, what we're talking about are roses that were really developed throughout the Middle East, you know, everywhere from Iran on the east to Turkey and Bulgaria in the west. These are, you know, roses that are coming from the species rose, Rosa Damascena. And that rose really came to be in the western part of that area, where the sort of natural territory of the famous Rosa Gallica, which it's known as the apothecary rose, and the whole family of Gallica roses coming from that, and a little bit of a strange rose called Rosa Phoenicia. And those two roses sort of naturally combined and naturally hybridized into what we know as Rosa Damascena, which is the natural occurring and first damask rose. And it's just kind of an odd parentage. The Gallica roses are known for their like intense colors and, you know, reds and purples and kind of these crazy plants that shoot up root suckers all over the place. And Rosa Phoenicia is really much more of a kind of long, rangy, you know, kind of stringy rose with clusters of blooms. So it's really quite an interesting combination to come up with these roses that we know so well for being really fragrant and just really intense plant. Most damask roses are, you know, from shades of white, pink, in varying intensities of color. And the blooms are full, they're very full with lots and lots of petals. A lot of times they're quartered. Sometimes they've got little button eyes inside of them. And ultimately, they are just absolutely tough plants. And as you noted from your trip, I'm sure the land that they are growing in is one that's tough.
Yes, I think that it was. So what about our growing them? Would be growing them here different from other roses that we know of?
No, I think damask roses do so well, especially in the Mountain West here and in drier climates. They're fantastic. They really love the heat. They love full sun. You know, there's a variety of roses and sizes of damask roses from, you know, 4 feet, 8 feet tall. Some of them are really wide. Some of them are really, really caney and get really long with arching canes. They make an interesting garden plant because they can be so versatile. I've grown them as almost climbing roses, large shrubs. Some of them will even stay, you know, just kind of tucked into the landscape.
Now, I have Madame Hardy, and she does a lot of arching that in that beautiful way that just makes her so welcome to the plants around her.
Yeah, Madame Hardy is one of the most famous of the damask roses, and you're absolutely right. And that's a great example. It is a white bloom, very packed with petals, and certainly one that is very full and fragrant. And boy, we used to have one growing just outside of our kitchen window, and you knew it was spring because there was just an explosion of just white, vivid white blooms right out that kitchen window. One of my favorite memories of that house.
Well, as soon as I got back from my trip, one of the first things I did was to contact you and order more. So this year, Madam Hardy will not be alone. I will get to see more beautiful blooms. But last year they grew well and strong, but we'll get to see the blooms this year.
They are just fantastic roses. You know, some of them will put on a little rebloom, taking on the influence of Rosa Moschata. You know, in particular, I think of Autumn Damask. That's one that I really like, and it's one of the smaller plants. It's a great option to put in your garden. And, you know, it's a little looser bloom, still maintains a lot of that grape fragrance. And it's a great garden plant because it also puts on some neat looking hips towards the fall.
Now, for those that are new to growing these roses, would you give them any pruning tips? Would it be similar to other old garden roses, or would there be something else?
Well, you know, I kind of come from the minimalist school of pruning, so I'd kind of let things go. That is until we get into like propagating things back, and then they get cut back pretty hard. But, you know, with most old garden roses, you really want to kind of wait until after the roses bloom into the summer, because you can kind of significantly cut back on the number of blooms that are produced by the rose. So we always like to say on your old garden roses, just wait until summertime and then kind of cut back for, you know, shape, get it out of your way, get it out of the way of the other roses. But that way you can enjoy them and then kind of put them where they need to be.
Now, these roses play an important part of commerce in the regions where they grow so profusely in essential oil. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's one of the most interesting things that I've learned when I jumped in this business about 9 years ago now. I honestly had no clue. I would get a few calls here and there that were talking about distilling and with the fragrance of the roses and distilling for rose oil. And I really didn't know. So I got a quick lesson in rose oil and rose water and distilling from one of my customers who I think kind of grew weary of talking to me about it, finally drove her truck from the western slope of Colorado here over to Denver to see us with her whole distillation set up in the back of the truck. And then promptly set everything up right in front of the greenhouse to show me exactly what she was talking about. It was a good hands-on lesson, to say the least. And I have to say, my understanding and my ability to handle those calls have really grown since that point. And boy, we sure have a lot of people that are interested in distilling roses, especially the damask roses.
Well, if you have rose oil, you are sitting on a gold mine because essential oils are so trendy right now, and many people are very interested, and there's so many healthy properties of rose oil. But when you go to purchase it, it's a lot different. You're going to see a big cost in purchasing even a very small amount of rose oil.
Well, that's for sure, because you know, the process of distilling is such that it just takes a ton of petals, probably around 50,000 petals or about 7 to 8 pounds of flowers to just create 1 milliliter of rose oil. And that just kind of gives you an idea of the process. Most of it is steam distilled, where it's kind of boiled in a gigantic vat. And to produce rose oil, typically they'll distill it twice, and rose water will typically be done once. So just think of it the same way my old Uncle Don used to make moonshine in the backyard. It's it's still and just kind of run it through there and really smells great.
Well, I'm from Tennessee, and so when I hear distill, I have a whole other picture in my mind as well, very similar to your uncle, but of things that were going on up in the mountains.
You just need to meet the right people.
Absolutely.
Make the right connection there, and then you know, on the side, you can get them to do a little bit of rose oil for you.
Oh my! Get something going there. Now, since you're around them all the time, tell us your favorite. So if our listeners are making a list, so what should they be looking at? What do they need to be adding to their garden so they can enjoy these beautiful and fragrant roses?
I think they're such great historic plants, and I just love that history about them. You know, and the nice thing about the category of damask roses is it's a very, very diverse group of plants. So you've got big ones, you've got little ones, you've got, the one that's going to kind of eat the fence. And probably my favorite is the one that eats the fence. It's a rose called Banshee. We actually call the version that we sell High Country Banshee because it's just a little bit bigger than typically Banshee has been known, but absolutely a joy to grow. It's just such a satisfying plant. We've been updating our website, and so I was going through all the pictures, and I saw a picture of my daughter when she was about 5 years old standing in front of this, 8-foot plant that's got no less than 500 blooms on it. And I just, the visual and the scent and just all of those things just bring you right back. And that is just one of my all-time favorites. So Banshee is a great one, but if you're not looking for something quite that big, I could certainly understand that. And I would say from there, really, you had mentioned Madame Hardy. That is just a dynamite rose. It's just such a show in the spring. And they're very, very double flat white blooms that just pop off the plant. It's fantastic. Autumn damask, I think we mentioned a little earlier, and that's another great one. A little bit more of a low grower, gets a little wider. It's one of the few damask roses that really puts on good hips. And then, there's the two roses that are really, really kind of connected to rose attar and distilling, and that's Isfahan and Kazanlik, and boy, those two are just such neat plants. I think of the rose Kazanlik in particular, and that's named after a city in the Rose Valley of Bulgaria. I was reading a statistic where like 95% of the farmers in this valley grow only Kazanlik roses for distilling. So you can just imagine what that valley has to look like in the peak of early summer. And just these roses grow in these ideal conditions. And the Rose Valley is really, we always call it grandma's soap scent, but it's a kind of a sweet rose scent that is really coveted in perfumes and soaps and things. The Rose Valley in Bulgaria is the center of that, for sure.
Well, I still haven't gotten over the word picture of your daughter standing in front of a rose with 500 blooms. We were talking about before we started recording, we're looking at our windows and it's either snowy or bleak. And the thought of 500 fragrant blooms is still, kind of got me gobsmacked. But Kazanlik and Isfahan are the two that you recommended for me to buy last summer, and I did. And so, oh my goodness, I just can't.
So the damask roses were introduced into Europe during the Crusades, primarily during the 1200s of the Crusades, and into France, and were really hybridized heavily during the 1500s. And that's where we see most of the varieties we've been talking about. But from those varieties also damask roses are the parents of a lot of the hybrid perpetual and Portland roses that we kind of know and love. And certainly Cydony would be one of those roses that is just a gorgeous, gorgeous rose and heavily influenced by the damask rose.
Now, is it a rebloomer? Most of these roses are one-time bloomers, but I had read somewhere that that one was a rebloomer.
That's true. Yeah, many of the hybrid perpetual roses do rebloom, and that is definitely the case with Cydony. It puts on a huge show in the spring of just really clear pink blooms, and then you'll definitely get some, you know, two or three, well, probably three good flushes of bloom through the season, and definitely an all summer show with that one.
Well, this is certainly whetting my appetite for more, and I'm sure our listeners too. So tell us your address for your website, because it's just chock full with all of these beautiful roses. So tell them how to find you.
That's right. We've got a brand new website. I just launched it here last week. So everything's running smoothly, and you can find them all at www.highcountryroses.com.
Well, I would definitely encourage our listeners to take a look at the new website. I've already been there. It is fantastic. And to try the roses. I've bought many roses from you, and they all do extremely well. So highly recommend the beauties that you sell.
Well, thank you. We are excited around here. This is our 50th year in business, and we couldn't be happier to be growing roses every day.
Lots and lots of roses that we have to look forward to when the weather gets just a little bit better.
Yeah, I tried to do the like historical math on exactly how many roses we would have grown in 50 years. And suffice to say, I ended up with a lot.
Oh, that would be a number that would be interesting to know. All those little statistics are fun.
It would.
Fun. So how many greenhouses full of roses do you have right now?
You know, we're doing four separate houses with about 40,000 square feet. and we're producing about 30,000 roses a year and about 600 varieties.
Impressive numbers. Numbers are good. Those numbers are good.
Well,
I'm sure
it keeps
that it
me
does.
Busy.
And Matt, we do appreciate you for taking care of all those beautiful roses and for joining us today, you know, and for filling our world with these roses that are steeped in culture, they're steeped in history, and they're steeped in fragrance.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.